It is a joy to be here tonight. I mean that. It is always a joy to assemble here at this place, and not anything to do with this building, but to do with God and because of you, and to do what it is tonight that we always do. And I appreciate the opportunity to put this lesson together, and I appreciate your encouragement as brothers and sisters in Christ to myself and to my family. If you would turn in your New Testaments to the 10th chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10, that will be our text for the evening, Hebrews chapter 10 through the beginning of chapter 12. If there was ever a book written to a group of struggling Christians who just needed to hang on, it might well be the book of Hebrews. We know that Hebrews was written by an unknown author, that Hebrews was written to a group of Jewish Christians. Jewish Christians who were facing and had experienced and were in company with those who had experienced very real persecution, very real physical challenges that were challenging their faith. And it was those challenges to those Christians which caused them over time, after once having faith so strong, to grow weary, and allowed those challenges to weaken them, to dilute their faith over time, and push those Christians to a precipice, to push them to a point to where they were walking the tightrope and in danger of falling away from that faith that they once held so dear. Throughout the first 10 chapters of Hebrews, we see a theme develop. And in that theme and encouraging these Christians is God's answer. And we see that God's answer all along to Christians has been to count on Jesus, to have confidence in Jesus. Jesus as our great high priest, Jesus who had been the trailblazer of their faith and did so through suffering. We see in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, "But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor, because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering." The reader being reminded that we are not alone. That Jesus, as we often see, has invited us to live a life that he lived in every way, in every sense. And we see in the 10th chapter of Hebrews a few stern warnings to these Christians who are in danger of losing that faith. Christians who are losing their willingness to live the Christ-like life and began to maybe slip back into living for themselves rather than for Christ. And living for yourself is at the very core of what sin is. And those warnings were very clear. That without living by faith, without holding fast to your faith, without practicing and exercising endurance in your faith, that they were in a real grave danger of facing the wrath of God. And that in so doing, and living however they wanted to live their life, that the sacrifice of Jesus and all that that encapsulated would be rendered null and void. There would no longer be a sacrifice for their sins. And of course, we see here where that road leads. Chapter 10, verse 31. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And still today, that should be a most sobering thought for us all. And as we get to the text of the evening, beginning around verse 32, we see that the writer begins to remind his reader of the faith that they once had. Not only of the faith that they once had that was so strong, but the faith that they put into practice, that they used to bring them through serious physical life experiences. And the writer reminds those Christians that the foundation for that faith that they once hung on to was the confidence that they had in the reward that awaited for them when this life had passed. And so we see a faith that endures is a faith that is fixed on a goal. A faith that is fixed on the reward that we will receive, the reward that God has promised when this life has passed. At one point, these Christians were not living for themselves. They were looking beyond that. At one point, they were not counting on their own righteousness. They were looking to the righteousness of God. At one point in their lives, they were able to look past their current life experiences and situations, however bad they may have been. But they were able to endure all of that because they were looking at life in the long view. They were looking forward to home, where God is, where they long to be. And quoting Isaiah in verse 37 of chapter 10, "Yet a little while, and the coming one will come, and will not delay." Yet a little while. If you can hang on for a little while, God has promised that He is going to take care of whatever sufferings it is that you're going through. Yet a little while, and whatever injustices that you feel exist in this world or may exist in your life, that God was going to take care of those things, and He was going to do so in His way, in His holy way, in His perfect way. And we need to hear that message tonight. This world that we're living in needs to hear that message tonight, because that's a message of hope. We see as we continue on in chapter 10 that God takes pleasure in those individuals who practice such faith, and those individuals who do not shrink back in their faith, those individuals whose whole hearts are committed to God and His righteous cause. And the Hebrew writer says in verse 39 that in living that way, that they would preserve their souls. Encouraging the readers again. You know, I always think about preserving souls. I find it interesting that mental image of preserving, if you think about food and preservation. I counted at least five times that the psalmist used the idea of praying to God to preserve his soul. You know, the opposite of preservation is destruction. The opposite of preservation is ruin. It's harm. It's danger. But yet, preservation is bringing something to a point to where it is absolutely safe. It is absolutely secure. And there is great comfort in that. There is great comfort in realizing that throughout time, God has always taken care of His people, and that wasn't going to stop with the Hebrew Christians that were the recipients of this letter, and God's love and His providential care is not going to stop with us here tonight. Hebrews chapter 11, begins with a definition given to faith. Faith defined. Starting in verse 1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the people of old received their commendation, that is, their approval by God. By faith we understand that the universe was created by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things that are visible. Faith is an assurance of things hoped for. Well, what are those things hoped for? Well, we've talked about that. It's those promises of God to which we are longing for. Assurance, conviction, persuasion, absolutely convinced. This isn't some figment of our imagination. Our faith is based on something very real. And that something is the Word of God. The Word of God is where our faith begins, and the Word of God is the foundation upon which our faith will be built. And our faith resides somewhere, and that resides in our hearts and in our minds. Faith is being able to see the unseen, looking forward to a goal that we know good and well is there. Faith is believing in God, believing in that reward that He has promised. And we know that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. As we continue to look at faith, as defined by the Hebrew writer, in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that He exists, and that He rewards those who seek Him. Again, pleasing God. God is pleased by those who practice faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. And again, we see that our faith is connected to a goal and an action. God rewards those who seek Him. Sounds awful familiar to Jesus in John 14. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. Sounds similar. And we see an action tied to faith. We've seen that already in the first 10 chapters of Hebrews. Drawing near to God. We are called to do that. We can do that. And as Hebrews 10, verses 19 through 22, it explained, we should do so with all assurance of faith, with all confidence. And that confidence being solely in the blood of Jesus, the blood of the new covenant. And as you continue to look at Hebrews 11, this all so familiar chapter to us all, the writer continues to encourage these struggling Christians by giving them real-life examples of people who were real people, who lived this life in every way that we live our lives, and who lived their life with an enduring faith. Have you ever thought about Hebrews 11? Have you ever thought about Abel, Abraham? And do you ever look at someone like Abraham and just think that they're a long ways off? That when we try to compare our lives, our struggles, to someone like Abraham, does it ever seem hard to relate? But yet, these are the people. These are the illustrations of enduring faith that are given. Do you think that the readers of this letter might have thought the same thing? What does Abel know about my struggles? How is that going to help me? Well, if you think about it, people really haven't changed over the span of time. our problems, our struggles, and our needs haven't changed in all this time. And if you notice, Abel's fate was not the same as Abraham's fate. And the life that Joseph lived and the struggles that he endured was not the same struggles that Moses endured in his life. We all have our unique struggles. Struggles take many forms. We all have our cross to bear, and we are all in need of having a faith instilled in us that is an enduring one that can sustain us until we reach that heavenly home. Verses 13 through 16 of Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had the opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared for them a city. These people all had a common ground. They all met on a common ground. They all shared in that same desperate longing. They all shared in what made them tick. And if we feel that we can't relate to these individuals, then we have something to think about tonight. And you know, it's a comforting thing. It's a beautiful thing that the Word of God does transcend time. That these lessons that we read about, these truths that are revealed, are eternal. That it doesn't matter who you are, what country you live in, and what age you are, if you're alive today or 2,000 years ago, it doesn't matter. We all are in need of the same faith. We're all in need of an enduring faith, no matter what our circumstance, because we don't know the future. We don't know what struggles the Lord's going to present to us in our lives. By faith, Noah, being warned of events yet unseen, he began constructing that ark out of reverent fear. Who could have imagined that the flood was going to happen like it did? Yet, Noah could see that flood, and he lived his life and endured making that that ark and enduring the ridicule from everyone around because he didn't care. He knew where he was going. The passage for tonight, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise, not some different promise, the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham left everything he had ever known in a city called Ur of the Chaldees. He packed up his belongings, his wife, his nephew Lot, and they struck out, not knowing in the world where they were going. But Abraham believed in God, he believed in his calling. And as we read, he believed that God had a place prepared for him. And in verse 32 of chapter 11, we see that these are only a few examples, only a few, that time would fail the writer to mention all of those who have had that enduring faith, who overcame such incredible circumstances. And if you read through chapter 11, circumstances that I hope that none of us ever have to see in our lives. But they all, as we talked about, met on that common ground. They all desired to be with God. They were united in their love for Him. And they believed that God had a place prepared for them. They were looking beyond this life. And so tonight, what are our goals? We all have goals in life. Do your goals in life align with God's goals and God's plan for you? Do your goals align with those of these people mentioned in Hebrews 11? Is there anything about the way that you're living right now? Anything about your lifestyle that may be self-inflicted, working against your faith, weakening your faith, weakening your resolve to do right? We can all change. We can all be encouraged and change. You know, time hasn't changed. Human nature hasn't changed, but people have the ability to change. But you have to will that to happen. It's not going to happen on its own. You have to want that change to happen. Are you willing to endure through this life and whatever hardships may come your way in order to attain glory? Do you realize tonight that there is an eternal weight of glory that surpasses anything we could ever encounter in this world? And in conclusion, we come to chapter 12. The first two verses, Brother Chip read for us this morning, and Brother Chad. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated the right hand of the throne of God. Have you ever thought about that cloud? Have you ever thought about what an encouraging thought that is? Have you ever thought about the fact that these individuals listed in chapter 11 are but a few? I couldn't tell you how many people are there. This morning we talked about perhaps millions. Do you realize that you could be a part of that cloud one day? And as Brother Chip mentioned this morning, we all have had people dear to us in our lives who lived with an enduring faith and that we believe are in that cloud. And that is a most encouraging thought. To encourage these struggling Christians, the Hebrew writer says, look to Jesus. Jesus is the greatest example of an enduring faith, the greatest example of someone who endured such incredible circumstances that has ever lived. There has never been anyone who has demonstrated such extraordinary faith. Nothing was going to stop Him from doing His Father's will, not even the cross. And as we read, He did so because of the joy that was set before him. Do you feel tonight, do you believe that you have joy set before you? You do. You can. On the other hand, do you realize how disappointing? Do you realize how much regret you would have if you do not endure through this life and work on your faith to the point that you will make it to that goal? How disappointing. We read that it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. If you don't believe that, you can read the story of the rich man and Lazarus. That rich man was in absolute agony. He was in flames. He had memories haunting him of his former life. That man begged Abraham. He called Abraham father. Said, I beg you, please, send him, talking about Lazarus, send him back to my father's house. I have five brothers. Tell them of this torment. And Abraham said, it's not going to work like that. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And so, what are we going to do about our faith tonight? What are we going to do about our faith this week? To strengthen ourselves, to build our faith, so that we can have that enduring faith. It's going to take some examining of ourselves, and that's something only we can do. No one can do that for you. That's between you and God. We've got to realize that Jesus is the standard. His faith, His life is the standard by which our exam will be measured. How do you feel that your faith tonight measures up to that example of Christ? We all have work to do. But the point of the Hebrews letter is that you can do it. It is not impossible. Now, so many people for so many years have lived an enduring, faithful life and received that reward, and so can we. But we're going to have to try. We're going to hang on, and we're going to have to want to go to heaven, heaven being where God is more than anything else. Looking to Jesus. Looking to what encouraged Jesus to endure what was in front of him. And we sing the song sometimes, when my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. Have you thought about the cross lately, that story? If you feel that you are struggling in your life, have you thought about Jesus in the garden? Jesus who begged, God, please let this cup pass from me, with sweat like drops of blood. But yet Jesus had to resolve as such, as he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. We do not know what enduring faith is without the cross. We cannot know what enduring faith means without Jesus and His cross. We have not come to a knowledge of the truth, a knowledge of the faith, without that message, without hearing that story. And so tonight, have you heard that story? Have you done something about that story? It demands a response. Have you made your mind up? Have you converted that is to be completely changed by the message of the cross, renouncing everything that you have to follow Him. If not, then you desperately need to be considering that tonight. If you have not repented of your former life and been baptized into His death, you have a tremendous opportunity tonight to do so. And if you are here tonight and you can relate to these Jewish Christians, the recipients of this letter, maybe you feel beat up, worn out. Maybe you feel tired. Maybe your faith in that prize of heaven just has lost its luster. Then I hope that tonight, as Hebrews 10 would say, that you could be encouraged by the people here tonight, that we could stir somehow and awaken that disposition that you once had, that resolve that you once had to do right when you saw heaven so clearly. If you are in need of responding to the gospel of the kingdom of God in any way, won't you please take advantage of this time while together we stand and sing.